welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June the 8th, 2019. My headphones are way too loud. Oh, that's so much better. Yeah, they were way too loud. That's going to look really weird on the camera. When I go and edit stuff, it's going to look strange. I mean, all loudness. Shoot, I should have checked that before we went on the air. That's enough of talking about how the show runs. Let's talk in the show. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. This is In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 8th, 2019, Season 13, Episode 21. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Dramatic pause.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it worth it?
I think so.
All right. Do we need the drama? Have we not had enough drama this week? Have we not? You can check out In-Game Chat for all the links to get in touch with us. You can call us. Like I said, the phone number 334-272-9228. We got a lot to talk about, though. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook there. You can email us, everyone at In-Game Chat. Nobody ever does it anymore. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type in In-Game Chat. You'll be able to find us there. Otherwise, just go to our website, ingamechat.net. Click on the link there. It's so much easier to do that. You can find us there and watch live as we broadcast. Join in the chat room with everybody hanging out there. Who do we have here? Let's look. We have AC Wraith, Drunk Degenerates, Lethal Migraine, who I haven't seen in a while, actually.
Yay! Hey, Lethal.
Unless he was here last week, and I'm totally drawing a blank.
I didn't remember.
But I don't think so. Multile, Retrode, Stephen Van Damme, and Tactus 59 joining us for the beginning of the show. We'll check in again later to see who has shown up afterwards. Lots and lots and lots and lots to go over with, but first... Lots and lots of stuff to talk about, because
there's only one thing we need to talk about.
It is E3 week. It is, and it started just a tad bit. Well, it depends. If you count leaks, it's been going all week long. If you count officially, then it kicked off today with EA Play showing us Jedi Fallen Order?
Yeah.
And we're gonna spend Fallen Stars of the Wars of the Jedi.
We're going to spend the next 2 hours talking about that and that alone.
Not much to talk about there other than... I mean, we didn't really get a look at mechanics. I mean, it's first person, but...
Third person,
I'm sorry. There's a lot of... there's a lot of force play going on.
He is force play.
Yeah.
He is a Jedi.
He is, but... The trailer they revealed before this seemed to make it think that your abilities as a Jedi would have to be minimally used, I think, because he was trying to keep undercover.
Well, they also said that this was 3 hours into it. So I'm guessing...
Okay, I missed that, but I was brushing my teeth and stuff. So I did. I only caught the gameplay, so I missed that. Which I could understand. I thought this might... When I was watching, I thought this might be further along
into the game. It's supposed to be 3 hours into it. So I'm guessing, like, the beginning portion will be him still as a Padawan. Because, mm-hmm. you know, at this point, and when the game begins, he's supposed to still be a Padawan. And, you know, sort of hiding out after Order 66.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, you know, as you watch the trailer and you see Saw Gerrera and the other... You know, I'm hoping those are the Dreamers, you know, part of his team. And... So, you know, I'm guessing, you know, that brings you further into the fight. You've progressed further in your Jedi abilities, and they need your ability. The thing I did like about it was, did you watch the whole thing and the little commentary afterwards?
I didn't watch the commentary afterwards. I flipped over, by the way, and watched the fully uploaded demo.
Okay.
Not the one that they were streaming live, because the quality on that one was better as far as I could bump that up to 60 frames. And 1440 on my monitor.
Okay.
Through watching it through YouTube, so I stuck to that one. I didn't watch the rest. I didn't know there was a Q&A afterwards or anything.
They mentioned a little bit. You know, talked about it a little bit afterwards, and they said that in previous games where you had the ability to be a Jedi, there's always been that morality slider. You know, can you go light? Can you go dark?
Right.
And they ask, is this one going to be one of those? And they said, no, not at all. And like, oh really? And like, this character is just light, so you won't be able to go morality slider to the dark. Because he has a set character with set parameters in the universe.
Okay.
And I kind of like that. You know, he has his story to tell as opposed to being, you know, I think back to the old Jedi Knight 2, you know, well, Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, where, you know, they had the two different endings for Kyle Katarn, either if, you know, the good ending or the bad ending. And one was official for the time. Canon. One wasn't. So they're just like alleviating that and be like, no, this is going to be his story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess kind of like how Force Unleashed. I mean, there wasn't really that much of a morality slider for that one either.
A buddy of mine who used to work here sent me a screenshot. And I was reminiscent because I used to play the game with him. And in fact, we brought our boxes here to the station, hooked them up downstairs in the conference room to the overhead projector.
Yeah.
And we were playing them on the wall. We were playing our games on the wall and playing together. But it was Old Republic. Isn't that what that is? The MMO?
Yeah, Old Republic.
Old Republic, yeah. He sent me a screenshot. He had gotten back into the game. And, man, seeing that screenshot and hearing you talk about just, you know, going light, dark, that sort of thing, reminded me of that game and how different it played if you were playing as a Jedi or as somebody from the Empire, playing as any one of the different classes that they had available. And
I played Trooper in that one.
Well, I did too. I played Commando. Or is that the same thing?
Yeah, the Republic Trooper.
I thought it was Commando, though, because I had that big chain gun.
I think that's one of the branches that you could
do. Okay, because that's the one I went with.
You went with the heavy gunner?
Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, I went as a... Oh, man.
I just like their armor.
I went as... He's one of the monk types of the Empire. What are they called? Starts with an A.
Apprentice?
No.
Acolyte?
No, I don't think so.
Avocado.
Man, I'm misremembering.
And technically it's not the Empire, that would still be, well, I guess it's the Empire.
Classes in Old Republic. If this is the online, what was the Sith Inquisitor, I'm sorry.
Okay,
Sith
Inquisitor
is who I played as.
That didn't start with an A.
No, it doesn't, not at all. Because there was a Sith Assassin, and I did not pick the Sith Assassin. I went with Sith Inquisitor, and I also picked the Trooper.
I didn't want to go Jedi in that game.
I did both.
Because I remember...
Well, no, I didn't go Jedi. I went Commando. I did not... Commando. I did not go... you're right. I didn't go Jedi, which again, flipping over to the dark side, whatever you want to call it... playing as a Jedi there and making those evil, evil choices felt, maybe it says something psychologically, felt good. It felt good to be bad, I guess, was the case. Because, look, you're running around as a Republic, as a commando, and you're helping all these people, like, oh, my kid's lost. Can you go bring back my kid? And I'm like, you're a horrible parent. Don't let your kid get away. I can't say that, of course. But, you know, I can't be... I can't tell the truth in a way that's just practically mean, but still, you know, being a Sith Inquisitor on the other side was like,
oh, my kids are in a trap building. Good.
I mean, I was making choices within the ranks, when I was playing Sith Inquisitor that were, no, do it yourself. You know, it was sort of a situation of like, no, I don't have to do what you tell me.
Yeah.
No, I answer to such and such. I don't answer to you. You know, there were some loyalties that I kept in that regard, and I guess it was mainly to the Emperor himself, but
before
not
the Emperor.
Well, whatever, whoever that was, whoever the lead person was that I was, whoever was in charge.
Yeah, because this is 1,000 years before
it was, but whoever at the time. I'm just saying, I was only loyal to my boss, as it were. On that side. And anybody else that was coming at me or had any kind of sway of like, hey, you know, we can take out your boss and we can run this thing. And I was like, no, I will kill you where you stand right now. and I didn't care. Republic Commando was like, I'd come back to my guy and he's like, go do this. And I'm like, yes, sir. Yeah. Go do this. Yes, sir. You know, and I was like, I have to go do what the officer tells me to do. And
I've kind of been wondering about getting back into that.
It's free to play. They're still putting out content for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Star Wars, and it is EA, so, I mean, they're probably going to...
BioWare?
Yeah, so they're probably going to continue making content for it.
I think I wouldn't be able to continue with my character. I'd have to start all over again.
Oh, I would easily start all... Now, I hit rank level on my Republic, my Commando, I did not get very far with my Sith Inquisitor. So, I mean, I would probably start the game dark side and probably start that over with again, just to go through it. If I were to do that. I remember a lot of good things, especially when I make the comparison to Destiny. I don't like to do that, but a game that gives you a ship that you can actually walk around in was kind of nice. A game that gave you ship missions that you,
actually
flew and fought in your ship.
Yeah. Novel idea, right?
Was really, really cool, you know?
Instead of just a ship being a loading screen.
Yeah, I get that, yeah. And there's some really good-looking ships that they give you in Destiny, which it's horrible that you can't do anything with
anything.
Them. Even looking over at Warframe, and I don't know if you ever got into how far you got into Warframe or even if you got into it at all, you get a ship that you can walk around in and customize, or at least seemingly. I didn't get very far to know if you could, but, you know, there were options of, you know, you're unlocking this part of the ship, so...
Customize stuff to fly in space missions, I know that much.
In Warframe,
yeah.
No, I really...
I don't think it's the ship, it's some apparatus that you have to get later on in the game that you can customize and give the loadouts and everything to for space missions. Yeah.
But let's go back to Fallen Order and get that conversation out of the way first. One of the things that I'm doing with the info that I keep here in front of me to let me know what to cover today, normally I go from beginning of the week to now, but instead I reverse this one. I'm starting at today
and then
going back. So just because things started hitting about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, things started hitting that were pretty big events, and I was like, we should just hit those first rather than wait to get to them at the end of the show. So Jedi Fallen Order revealed today.
November 15th.
November 15th for a release date. PC, right?
I think.
I've only seen available on console.
I know the Xbox, you know, popped up, the logo popped up.
Right, and Wario64, who I follow on Twitter, who gives me all the deals and stuff, he only had a PS4 and Amazon listing for PS4 and for Xbox, but I imagine it's going to be PC through Origin as well. Might even be part of the Origin Pass, or whatever that is.
Maybe.
Might be an easy, like, $15 to join in for the month, play it, and there is no multiplayer.
I know.
I like the idea, and I don't have any qualm with any way that anybody goes to play the game however they want to. But I feel like buying it, if only to make a statement of, don't stop doing these kind of games. Not necessarily Star Wars, but these single-player, story-driven...
Adventure games.
Don't stop this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great to have multiplayer components and stuff.
And EA has a ton of those.
But it's also nice just to have a story that you can do on your own. You know? As much as I like, you know, running around with my friends, just sometimes Nathan Drake by myself is just as equally fun.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a story that they want to tell me, and I'm willing to, you know, hear how it goes.
I did have a lot of feelings of, not necessarily Uncharted, but I mean the entire time I'm watching it, because I am just a fanboy of Amy Hennig and anything that she's ever done. I'm not making comparisons, but I couldn't help but wish I could be seeing what her vision was going to be.
Yeah, with Ragtag.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously it was not going to put you in the shoes, sandals, whatever they wear. As a boots of a Jedi, you were going to be
I think it was like a smuggler.
A smuggler type person. Yeah. I still wished I could have seen what it was that they had planned.
Which, as much as, and you know, I am looking forward to Fallen Order.
Uh-huh.
Part of me is just like I like other things other than Jedi. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're almost too saturated with, you know, Force wielders and Jedi.
Well, with them doing what they're doing, they're not going to shy away from the money.
Yeah. And I understand that's what a lot of people want to wield a lightsaber. I don't blame them. But, you know, part of me is like, as much as I'm like, it'd be interesting to have something else.
I know.
But I'm still kind of interested in this time, in the timeline, you know, after Order 66, before, you know, Luke, you know, leaves Tatooine, you know, sort of that, you know, in between 3 and 4 era.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's...
We'll see. It's coming out in November, and we got...
I'll buy it.
There's 15 minutes that you can watch on YouTube right now of gameplay. Again, we don't have an idea of too many mechanics. The way he was thrown around his force powers felt like there was no penalty in using them. Felt very much a, well, I'll just do this every single time.
I did see a force, you know.
Oh, I did too, but it rarely got down to a sense. It rarely, the level of probably the force bar, I don't know what that's called, but the stamina, whatever it is, the level of that bar rarely got, ever did it get near half when he was using his powers a lot.
But, I mean, this is also not released. This is what
it
alpha
is. It was alpha footage. I get it.
So they could tweak it. They could, you know, whatever.
I get it. We don't have a lot of info. And with the Xbox logo popping in front of that thing, we might get more information tomorrow.
Yeah.
During Xbox's E3 presentation. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll put that on the list. We'll start with something that happened last night, which was just a whole lot of leaks. I see what this is. So there was a leak from Bandai Namco. They had a security flaw on their website, and it had a lot of leaks that were revealed. We got the, oh, what is it? A security flaw on publisher Bandai Namco's website led to a major new E3 leak that reveals three new games. The From Software game with George R.R. Martin collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
That, I believe, is called Elden Ring. It's a new game from the makers of Dark Souls and Sekiro. Sekiro?
Sekiro.
Sekiro. Sekiro. In collaboration with George R.R. Martin. We don't really know much about it other than we got a title. Let's see, what else do we get? A remastered version of the first Ni No Kuni.
Yep. I've always wanted to play that game, so.
Looks like a Switch version of the non-remastered version is also coming too. And then something called Tales of Arise, a new game from the long-running JRPG series, also for PC, Xbox, and PS4. Chances are high we'll see all three of these during Microsoft's press conference tomorrow afternoon, and we'll get some more info then. So yeah, a lot of leakage there. We got a leak from at last year's E3, Microsoft announced that it had bought four independent studios in an effort to step up its first-party development. One of those was Ninja Theory, the developer behind Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, and DMC Devil May Cry. We haven't heard much since then about what the studio is working on. However, Friday there was another leak, and we found out what their next game is. It's called Bleeding Edge, a 4v4 online multiplayer action game. The trailer was cam footage, but again, we'll probably know more about that tomorrow during Microsoft's press conference. So the next one, Ubisoft leaked Watch Dogs Legion. Which, you know, fine. You keep going to this well. Where's my damn Splinter Cell, people?
You know, I played a little bit of Watch Dogs and a little bit of Watch Dogs 2.
I haven't touched Watch Dogs. I have it, but I haven't touched it.
It's all right. Just not Splinter Cell. You know?
Let's see. Watch Dogs is now leaked out thanks to Amazon UK. Watch Dogs Legions. Watch Dogs Legion is set in London. The interesting gimmick is that you can play as any NPC that you recruit in the game. From the product description, play as anyone. Every individual you meet in the open world has a full set of animations, voiceover, character traits, and visuals that are generated and guided by gameplay systems. And we'll know more about that on Monday. Probably won't know anything about Splinter Cell, though. Grr. Let's see, what else do we have? Cook, play, eat. What is this? I don't know what this... Are these just tweets? These are just tweets. Okay. So, lots of leaks. what it's... This is not a leak. This is just a rumor, and I don't think it's going to lead to anything. If it does, that'll be fantastic. But this was posted by PC Gamer just yesterday. Actually, no, 7 hours ago. During an investor briefing this week, one investor from Take-Two Interactive said releasing Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC would be a layup, to which the head of Take, or the chief executive of Take-Two, Zelnick, responded, "There is no downside to releasing the game on PC." That is obviously not a confirmation, but it does seem to be different than what he has normally said. He usually does not talk about PC ports. And it usually just sort of moves on to the next thing whenever PC stuff comes up. So, who knows? That would be wonderful if we get it on PC.
I just don't feel like we are, you know?
Yeah. Okay, there's the... From Software, then GameSpot had a lot of leaks. I think this is going to be the same exact one that I was talking about.
E3 2019.
Oh, good Lord.
That wasn't me.
I was cleaning my laptop, and I think I turned the volume. Yeah, this was the Bandai Namco leaks that we're talking about. Yeah. I was thinking there was something about Tekken, but I guess not. Could have sworn there was. Ninja Theory, we talked about that. I guess we're getting we're going pretty fast through these then. Bethesda has said that they will finally ship out the Fallout 76 canvas bags. Yeah.
The plastic ones.
Why?
Or the canvas ones?
We are expecting to ship the Fallout 76 Collector's Edition canvas bags starting next week. This was posted on June 6th. Once the final date is confirmed, our team will be following up on those submitted tickets. We appreciate everybody's patience. You know, that's so they say. When it actually gets in the players' hands, sure.
Yeah.
Then I'll take it at your word. Speaking of Bethesda, they've got a E3 presentation tomorrow as well. In fact, I've got... Hang on, let me look. I have a list, and I want to kind of keep that... I want to keep that list open of the press conferences that we're getting tomorrow. We already did Electronic Arts. Microsoft is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time. Tomorrow afternoon. Bethesda is tomorrow night at 7:15 Central Time. And then it goes into Monday. Ubisoft is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. Then we have Square Enix, who we haven't had a E3 presentation from Squeenix in a long time. But their starts at 8 o'clock Monday night. Everybody may be looking at that Final Fantasy stuff, and that is perfectly fine if you want to. I'm just really interested in what that Marvel Avengers project is going to be.
Yeah.
Nintendo on Monday at 11 a.m. Central Time. And... yeah, those are the ones. There's also the PC game show, whatever it is, the PC E3 presentation for PCs. Then there is Devolver Digital is doing theirs.
That's the one I'm looking forward to.
So, there you go. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk, what do we have left? We have a lot. Destroy All Humans. Google Stadia.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of stuff there. We'll talk about all of that, and we'll come back here in just a moment with more in-game chat. Here's music now. You know, Baldur's Gate 3 got an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't played a single Baldur's Gate in my life.
No.
I don't know what I'm missing. What am I missing with Baldur's Gate?
They're D&D. I mean, one of the best D&D, you know, computer games around.
Okay. Well, Baldur's Gate 3 got announced, so I thought, why not get some music from previous Baldur's Gate? So I got Baldur's Gate 2, the main title theme there. We'll come back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Oxygen Not Included. This is Day Theme 4. So I think it's procedurally generated, maybe. I don't know. I'm not familiar with it, but some people had bought it on the Steam store, and that's where I got it from.
That title makes me think, so what, with the submarine type game or something like that?
Space, actually.
Space? Okay.
Yeah. I've got two submarine games in here.
Okay.
But I want to say this one's space. Not sure.
I'm digging it.
You digging it?
I'm digging it.
Anyway,
it sounds happy.
It seems to. There were not some happy themes that I came across looking for music there. So let's get into Thursday. Was it Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday that we got the news about Google Stadia. Google Stadia was the beta that Matt and I both tried out for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yeah, Project Stream, which was Assassin's Creed Odyssey that we got to try it out on, which it worked fantastically well when I did it. I don't want to use the word game changer. I hate that word. But it really felt, it was kind of nice to just play a game in my browser.
Yeah, actually.
A total, like a AAA big time game in my browser.
Yeah. For a while there, I actually was forgetting that I was playing it in the browser.
Oh, yeah, it was easy to forget that.
I was just like, la, 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 I'm just playing the game.
Uh-huh. Very easy to forget that. It was wonderful, too. There were no hiccups. I had no issues playing it. It didn't eat up my computer to run it.
No.
It was using hardly any resources other than most of my internet.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it wasn't that bad.
How much hard drive space did you save?
Well, I mean, I have the game now, and it's installed.
But,
so.
I mean...
Well, not just hard drive space, but think of not having to worry about your upgrading your graphics card every how many years you do it.
Because, yeah, I ran into that, actually, because, you know, the Quake RTX demo was released. And I'm like, ooh, let me download it. It's free. And then I went to play it, and it says, like, you don't have an RTX graphics card.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, oh, let me uninstall this real quick.
Yeah, you need one of those to do that. But I mean, it was really nice. That was nice and enjoyable. Google Stadia that they showed off on Thursday didn't tempt me in any way. Right. The way that they have it set up does not. It doesn't entice me to want to be a part of it.
But it didn't show off anything?
Oh, no, they did. I like the... there are certain ideas about it that I like.
Yeah.
And there's also certain ideas about it that I like for other people who maybe... who, again, don't have the computer to run certain games.
Mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey being a prime example, I was playing that in at least HD, maybe higher.
Yeah.
And it looked beautiful. There was no lag. It played beautifully. Everything was there. And it was wonderful to be able to do. Now, let's put it in Destiny's shoes, because Destiny 2 is coming to that. And let's see how a first-person shooter can work out with Google Stadia. That I have no idea. We'll go over a few of the hit points on this. And then when we come to the ones, I'll tell you, here's my issue here.
Okay.
It doesn't have a set release date, but it will arrive in November of this year. The only way to access Stadia at launch is by purchasing the Google Stadia Founders Edition. That includes a limited edition Night Blue Stadia controller, a Chromecast Ultra, a 3-month Stadia Pro subscription, and a 3-month buddy pass to give to a friend. It'll be available this year in a bunch of countries. Google plans to add more regions in 2020. First, let's go with the fact that Google is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Google has a history of starting stuff and then killing stuff. There is a graveyard of Google projects that have started and then stopped.
Even great projects.
And some that have stopped without understanding exactly why, because they were fine.
Just felt like it.
You know? And so I'm a little bit... So there's that. That's way on the back burner, but it is something that's in the back of my head of like, hey, Google doesn't like to stick to things.
Understandable.
But that's fine. Let's go with the price. The Founders Edition costs $130. And I already told you what that includes, the Chromecast Ultra. The Ultra alone runs for $70.
Okay.
By itself. The included subscription will only last you 3 months. Additional controllers cost $69 on $70 on their own. So what is that? 70, it's $140. So already you're getting two things for $10 less. Plus you're getting that 3 month subscription. The subscription is $10 a month. So there's another $30. So I guess the value you're looking at is $170 for $130, basically, at the outset. Mm-hmm. But then you've got to hit the subscription service for $9.99 at $10 a month after those 3 months are over with. That gives players access to the cloud gaming service, also free games, and the ability to play games at up to 4K, 60 FPS, HDR with 5.1 surround sound if you have fast enough internet speed to run it. Stadia Base, which isn't coming until next year, and won't give the extra goodies, will be available to consumers for free, given they have the equipment necessary to play its games. Stadia Base is free to access basic Google Stadia services, purchase games through the Google Store, and it gives you the max resolution of 1080p, 60 frames per second, and stereo. Stadia Pro is $9.99 a month. You get all the base benefits. You get the up-res. Mm-hmm. If your internet can hold it, and also access to select free games, as long as you're still subscribed, and exclusive discounts on games, you'll also get a limited time access to Destiny 2 and its expansions. All right, so I'm just kind of learning this. So Stadia is free, I guess the base is going to be free.
Then if you want the.
But do you have to? You have to buy games through their store, though, in order to play the games on their service, right?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I hate to speculate, you know, not 100% knowing.
Yeah. I'm not sure on that.
If your equipment can handle it.
Well, that was one of my things, because I thought you had to pay $10 a month for this service.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't. But you have to buy the games through them, and you're only buying... You're not actually buying physical games. You're buying the ability to stream those games. So if I buy Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Destiny 2, yeah. I have to buy it through them.
So then you have to pay for the games.
Yeah.
Chat said, yeah.
You have to buy the game through their store.
But it still.
Is, he says, yeah, it's basically Xbox Live. So.
But, I mean, if it's, what, $10 for a brand new game as opposed to, you know, 60?
Yeah.
Sure.
Open up this page real quick. Oh, crap. I hit a wrong... Oh, boy. Oh, God. Stop doing this. I hit the wrong thing. Let me put this in here. There we go. All right. There's the link, and it's IGN article, and they go over all the different stuff. Now, the internet speeds, you can see what I'm seeing here. 10... If you have 10 down, you can do the 720p, 60 frames per second stereo, 20, 1080p, 35, you get 4K. The recommended minimum is at 10. I don't know. It depends on how well your internet is. Plus the fact that some people have caps on their internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you go high on this, it's going to eat through your cap very fast.
Yeah.
Hardware requirements. A desktop computer. A PC with Windows 7 or higher. You need a Chromecast if you're doing it on TV. Also Chrome as well.
You need okay. You need Chrome. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's just. There's still. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's something that I obviously it's Lethal Migraine put it best. It's kind of like Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Although Xbox Live means you get to play online and you get maybe a few games free every, you know, every whatever.
Every month.
but you still have to buy the machine, and then you also have to pay for the service. Mm-hmm. But if I go out and physically buy games, I can play them on my Xbox machine, even if I don't subscribe to Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Whereas if I play...
But if you play them online...
I guess that's the same way. I'm buying them on the Stadia, but I at least have to have internet in order to play them.
Good internet.
Mm-hmm. I don't physically have them in my hand to take to some other place and play. Although, if I have a computer that has internet, I can do that. I don't know.
You don't have total access anytime you want, though, like you say out there.
Yeah. Anyway, there's still some questions.
Everything you're describing, it does look like a definite wait and see.
But I tell you, man, it was one of the most interesting things to play on my PC when I was doing the beta. Not because the game was whatever, but the fact that I was playing a game that I did not install and wait to install on my system, that I didn't have to open up a client. It was in the browser, and then
you just
suddenly
went there,
boom,
and you're playing.
I'm in there and I'm playing. And it stayed there with me too. It didn't matter if I moved over to my iPad, which I don't even know that my iPad could really run this thing. You know, something we were talking about, I brought it up, was that just recently Apple announced that iOS, their operating systems, would be compatible with the wireless Xbox and PS4 controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of cool to think about, because then I could technically play on my iPad or my iPhone if it has the ability to, if the internet can hold and bring that stuff in, I can play that even with the controller, which is kind of an interesting idea. I don't think it's ever something that I would do, but it was an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get, let me read a little few of these comments here, because I want to read the room basically.
Mm-hmm.
And see what they think about it. Google has their hands in too much already. Last thing I need is them peeking in on one more thing I do. Can't be any worse than Facebook games. Man, green, sticky stuff, I don't play Facebook games. And I'm not exactly sure. I don't play a lot of mobile games, so yeah. And I know you can probably play them in your browser as well through Facebook, but I don't even do that.
So what about like at work, just sitting there at work? And
well, not on any computer in this building.
Yeah.
Windows 7 is not on any computer in this building.
Yeah.
We don't have anything.
So, like, some people at work, you know, they'd be able to, like, well, let me just log in and play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, totally.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to, because they have our network closed down.
I'm sure.
Super strict.
I am sure. So, yeah, I don't know. I look forward to hearing what other people say about it,
mm-hmm.
to see where that's at. It might be a situation now, if Google Base is free, it might be a situation where a game releases and I might actually pick it up on Google Stadia if I don't feel like upgrading my PC.
It sounds like something you get if you like want to try out the game for an extended amount of time.
You know, well, no, because like you have to buy the game outright.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
Through their store, you buy it, and then it's yours. It's tied to your account.
Okay. So.
You bought it. This is not a subscription service that gives you access to...
And when you stop the subscription, you stop that, you know, like PlayStation Plus.
They have a situation, the $10 a month subscription
mm-hmm.
will give you access to some of those, but they haven't said what those games will be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there, mm-hmm. and that's a possibility to do. But I imagine probably the games that you want to play probably won't be included in that $10 a month. But I do not know. I really don't know. It doesn't seem like it. I understand. If it sounds too good to be true, there's definitely a catch or some strings. I don't know that it actually sounds too good to be true. I think I just want to know more. Mm. Especially about the lineup. Baldur's Gate 3 was announced for it.
Yep.
It's interesting. What else do we have here? The controller that comes with it. Games. Odyssey, Baldur's Gate 3, Borderlands 3, Darksiders Genesis, which was announced this week as well. Doom 2016, Doom Eternal, Destiny 2. Let's see. Mortal Kombat 11, Metro Exodus, Elder Scrolls Online, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Ghost Recon Breakpoint,
yeah,
Division 2, Youngblood. So, I mean, there's a lot of games that it will... Wait, it keeps... Oh, no, those are the publishers. So, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot involved.
Did it say anything about anything exclusive?
Let's see. The launch window games coming to include, which are currently unreleased, but games of both. No. I want to say that there probably are a few.
Yeah.
But... Yeah. And for a limited time, Stadia Pro will give players full access to Destiny 2, its previous released add-ons, the new Shadowkeep expansion, and an annual pass. Players can even transfer their Destiny 2 Guardian from PC and Xbox One games. Special features. It features a game state sharing, which allows players to share specific points in a game with others. This means players can create a save spot in a game, generate a link, and share it with others who can pick up exactly where the initial player left off. The title Q Games is developing uses game state sharing as a focal point, saying it will replicate the exact same scenario for other players. It also utilizes Google Assistant with the touch of a button and providing game help to players stuck in a game. This was initially demonstrated by showing someone stuck on a particularly difficult tomb in Rise of the Tomb Raider.
So this way, RJ could, like, you know, beat Dead Space 2 on super hard mode, save the state, and I could play it with the little pew-pew foam gun.
Yeah.
I like this.
While Stadia executive Phil Harrison has gone on record saying first-party games and studios are fundamental of being in the game platform business, he also discussed if he sees PlayStation and Xbox as Stadia's competitors. To this point, Microsoft Xbox Division Chief Marketing Officer argued that Stadia lacks the content necessary to flourish in the industry. Emerging competitors like Google have a cloud infrastructure, a community with YouTube, but they don't have the content. When asked if the PS5 will be Sony's last console due to emerging streaming services like Stadia, the president of the Sony's PlayStation division, Jim Ryan, said, "Who knows how it might involve hybrid models between console and some sort of cloud model? Possibly that. I just don't know. And if I did know, I wouldn't tell you." Yeah. We'll see where that goes. For me, I love the idea, and I am all for opening doors for gamers to play games in any kind of way they want to. This streaming these games is fantastic. It looks wonderful. It plays wonderfully. It seems to work brilliantly, honestly. The more I was kind of excited about it, the more I heard about it, the less excited about it I got. And I sort of just put it in the back of my mind as like, okay, well, that's good. I'm glad it's there. It's another option for people to take. It's just not an option I'm going to take.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was nice playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you know? It actually might be something I do for those single-player type games.
Yeah.
Like Shadow of the Tomb Raider, something like that. That is a hefty, could be hefty on the system. Something, I don't know. Maybe pick it up that way. I'm not sure. And it also depends on the price.
It's always good to have options.
Well, mm-hmm. if I'm paying full price, man, it just feels like I want that. It's not that I necessarily need that physically in my hands, but to know that I own it more so than just to be able to stream it.
That's how it is for me. I've always been used to having a physical copy in my hand as opposed to digital.
I'm not so used to that. But even digital copies from Microsoft and Sony and even Steam, you know, on the PC, even those digital copies feel more physical than what this does, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This really feels...
You got to download on your hard drive. This is on the cloud somewhere.
This feels like I don't
have access to it, but...
Yeah, this feels like I'm buying access to play it, not access to own it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't feel like I actually own it, especially if Google does what they do and kills something off. And it could be years down the line that they do that. I don't know. Obviously, if this thing doesn't take off and it doesn't build the revenue that they need, it won't survive.
Mm-hmm.
I know Lethal Migraine mentioned something that that Google is putting a lot of money behind this and really wanting to make this a thing, and that's great. I don't actually hope any of this fails. I hope it succeeds. But if it doesn't, then as we know from Google and their many other things, they will kill it.
I mean, I was just about to ask, when we talk about Google's willingness to kill off a project, but how much time do you think they would give it before they say...
Probably depends on the they'll have the data to see how many people are buying into this.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have the data to show how many people are actually using this, what they're using it for, where, you know, they're going to get a lot of data for mm-hmm. what this thing is. Even if it's only coming from a small amount of players, they'll gather a lot of data from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll decide where to go from there. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm totally fine with something. I want it to succeed, basically, is what I'm saying. Who do we have on the phone? Chris?
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to Chris, and then we'll go to break. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Hey.
None? What's going on with you?
Yeah, I've kind of did a little research and stuff about the Stradia, you know, the Google online stuff and all, but of course that's not going to be an option for me unless we get excellent unlimited internet completely out here in the boonies out here in the way in the country. But from what I was reading at the stats, you know, even for 4K and at the highest, playing 1 hour would take 14, maybe 15 gigabytes of data to play.
Yeah.
You need
good internet to do it, and I really hope you don't have internet caps.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be bad too.
It'll eat those up.
Yeah. From what they were saying, in order to reach like a terabyte of data download, you would only get like 65 hours at 4K or something like that. And if you know, like you say, no, unless you have completely unlimited, it wouldn't do you much good unless you only played a little bit.
And I'm almost positive to tell you that while you might have bought unlimited internet, I feel like somewhere on that contract you signed, there is a very small fine print that says mm-hmm. unlimited up to a point, and then we throttle you down. Like, they're not going to charge you extra, but they will throttle that service if you use a mass amount of it.
Do you know where this would be great? South Korea.
Why?
Because their internet is like some of the fastest in the world.
Oh, yeah.
When I was there, it's a smaller country. Mm-hmm. So unlike America where everything's all spread out over everywhere, mm-hmm. I mean, just the infrastructure. But I mean, like their internet, it was like super fast, way beyond what we have. So, in places like that, you know, maybe outside of this country.
Yeah.
It might, you know.
Oh,
maybe
the internet.
Maybe it'll like be something better off, you know.
The internet we have here is blazingly fast. We just don't have computers that can run any of this stuff. And I know it's just browser streaming, but computers here. Yeah. Oh man, we don't have Windows XP is mostly even that. It probably there's even Windows 2000 on some computers here.
Because that's what works with your stuff here, though, right?
And you know, it works, but I really feel like that's going to have to change here pretty soon. just because it's
like you were saying, you know, not
tough to do things,
not having mm-hmm. the physical copy in your hand, you know. I think they'd probably do better if felt like it was like $1 a month, you know, like a rental fee instead of paying the whole price. Then, you know, if people got into it big time and, you know, 2 or 3, 4 years down the road, you know, if it's like a couple $2 or $3 a month, you know, for a game, I think they probably make more off of the rental of it than $30-$40 or whatever, you know, one time fee. But
I mean, we'll see. I'll let other people be the guinea pig on this. I mean, me and Matt were guinea pigs for the beta, but there was no investment on our part other than let's try it out, see what it's like.
Yeah.
We didn't have to pay anything. And let me tell you, it's great. It really is great for what it offers. Mm-hmm. I just don't necessarily know that it offers what I need. And it might for other people. And that's fantastic. I hope it works out for them. And I really hope it's something that Google sticks with and stays with. But, you know, we'll find out because come November, we'll see. Google is likely never to release any sort of information on the sales of this thing other than to say sales were good. Thank you. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're likely to never... You'll know. Let me tell you this. If something does amazingly well, the company will release the numbers. They want you to know how well it actually did.
Yeah.
If it does amazingly well. If something does amazingly well to where they can say, yes, we made a certain billion amount, this is how many units we sold, and it is a staggering number, they will release that.
Something to hang their head on, something to brag about, something to show off to investors. Yeah.
They will tell you
that. Big trophy to hang on the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a gloating factor. It's a confidence booster. It is a, here's what we did when you guys thought we couldn't. And
now we're going to kill it.
And now we're going to kill it. Speaking of killing it, we have got to go to a break and kill this segment. So thanks for calling in, Chris.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
Take care.
Take care, Al.
We'll be back to cover out more of the E3 stuff that came out this week, because we got a lot more. And we'll talk about it here in just a bit. Going to break here with our first of the submarine games I was talking about. I put a link in our Google chat about this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sub-sim, 16-player co-op submarine simulator type thing. I want to use the word simulator very loosely.
It's not like Silent Hunter.
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's like a very...
But Silent Hunter wasn't co-op where you guys were on the ship, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
I don't think it was.
No.
But this it is very much simulator.
This is more like Fallout Shelter, but on a submarine. Did you look at the trailer that I posted?
No.
Oh, okay.
I will.
It's in G-Chat. Think of it where you see the inside of the sub. You see the outline on the inside, just like Fallout Shelter, where you see the inside from underground.
What's the name of it?
Barotrauma. B-A-R-O-T-R-A.
Wait, I think I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
T-R-A-U-M-A. Barotrauma. And everybody has functions on the ship, and 16 players co-op the ship, and you can, you maintain it and do the maintenance and that sort of thing. So, anyway, this is called Phantom from Space. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. Waiting for it to kick in. Welcome back to In-Game Chat for Saturday, the 8th of June. I'm Scott, RJ, and Matt are all here with us. Music here is from Red Faction Guerrilla.
Which they announced a new Red Faction.
I know, that's why I got the music.
I figured.
Actually, somebody was playing this on Steam.
I have the Red Faction and then the Gorilla and the they did the remaster, and it's like I need to play it, but I just
Yeah.
Because I've heard good things about it. It's just
Red Faction Gorilla?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I heard plenty of great. That was you apparently
can,
a
you
very
got your hammer and you smash things.
Apparently, a very underrated game.
But
you have gems like that every now and then. Some game you don't hear anything about, but just play it on a lark and it's pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
In your case, I need to get on Steam. I mean, I just updated my computer. I need to play PC games more.
Yeah, I would agree.
The other news, of course, that we got on the same day as the Stadia thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is something, you know, I don't think we talk about enough. We kind of let it go under the radar. We mention it here or there, but we really never spend a lot of time talking about Destiny 2.
Sarcasm.
Yeah, very.
I thought you were going to say like Barbie's, you know, dream house.
No.
Barbie's Horse Adventures.
On real thick for this one because, I mean, I can't go without talking about this.
Of course you can.
Not really. It's a pretty big deal. It's something we've asked for a very long time that they're finally implementing.
It is.
It's something I've wished for a long time.
He has.
And they're finally implementing the cross-save feature that at the bare minimum was really all I wanted. Let me have my saves.
If someone's playing on the Xbox, you go jump in with that character on that one. If they're playing on the, you know.
And now I have that ability.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can come back.
How many
and
years
play?
Later?
I can come back and play with you on the PS4, RJ.
And you would hate every second of it.
Why?
Because it's not on the PC. You were gushing about how much better it was on a PC compared.
Oh no, it is wonderful. It is wonderful.
Yeah,
on the PC.
So I would imagine that if you come back to the PS4,
but there are times that I can't play on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
So having it there for me to play on the PS4 would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I Thursday's announcements, especially the other now, we haven't even talked about the fact that they're now going free to play. Thursday's announcement was really a show of we are no longer with Activision, we're going to do what we want.
Right.
And here's what we want. It was even more of a show of we've reached out to the companies and here's what they've said. Sony allowing the cross save, from what I understand, the day before they did the live stream on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the screen that they showed of the transfer screen had only the three boxes, not a fourth, because Sony had not yet agreed to it at the time that they had made the video. So it was something that was revealed very, very late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. Next to actual cross-play, which that's great. That would be wonderful if they did it, but I just mm-hmm. don't ever see them doing it. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. It could... If crossplay becomes more of a thing that comes out of this generation or this late in the generation mm-hmm. into next generation type stuff, if crossplay becomes more of a, yep, crossplay, cross everything starts to have crossplay on it.
Yeah, it's been done before.
I could see that happening. Yeah. But right now, I don't think crossplay is only on a few games. Although Call of Duty coming out in November with crossplay,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge title to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And if they can, then I think others will, and I think eventually that barrier will be broken.
Street Fighter V comes to mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play with folks on PC or PS4.
I think it'll eventually get there. I don't necessarily know that Destiny will eventually get there, but I think the idea of cross-play no longer being a question of does it have it, just a reality that it always will,
mm-hmm.
Is getting closer and closer. Yeah. So... now they're moving it to Steam. They're taking it off of Battle.net. They're going to move it over to Steam. Seeing a Steam page for Destiny 2 was pretty strange to see, but there it was. And I saw a couple of people at it, or I say a couple. I know you added it to your wish list. It's on my wish list. Random flat out bought it. James put it on his. You know, plenty of people added it to their wish list. That's wonderful to see. And we're getting this all come September the 17th. When year 3 of Destiny 2 launches.
This is going to be a expensive end of the year for me.
I have to rebuy some things.
Yeah. Mm.
If I want to play on PS4, I need to buy the Forsaken campaign and the annual pass.
Ugh.
That right now is $40. Did you buy Forsaken? You didn't buy Forsaken, did you?
No.
No. Well, that right now is $40. So... Why is it going to be expensive to you?
MechWarrior 5 is an insta-buy for me. Kevin and I are going to be playing that. Thinking about getting the F-16 module for DCS World, that alone is $80. So that'll be expensive.
Yeah.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Right.
You know, that's November. That'll be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Okay. Not to mention, I might, do the Destiny. And there's other stuff around there that I've been wanting, I just look at it. I'm like, okay, that'll be it. All right, let's get that. Or, I'm excited about that. And, so it's looking like it might be an expensive end of the year for me. What about you?
I mean, not too many titles that stick out to mind. Now, I'm definitely going to be picking up the remake Samurai Showdown.
Oh.
Definitely going to be picking that up.
When's that coming out?
That's the 25th of June. We're going to be picking that up. And
that's
something
just around the corner.
It's just around the corner. even closer by is Bloodstained.
Bloodstained.
Bloodstained. The remade Castlevania.
Castlevania. Oh,
I think that's the 18th of June. That's going to be coming out. I was thinking about picking that up. Down the line, Catherine Full Body.
Oh, okay.
The remade version of that with the extra stuff put
in. New generation, whatever.
It's a remake of Catherine with the extra stuff put in there.
Okay.
So that's going to be coming out now in
September.
And that'll
be on the PlayStation 4?
That's PS4. I got the collector's edition little stray sheep. Because you remember from Catherine, had the, as you were, you saw all the other people trying to climb up the tower as sheep.
Yeah.
And that's how they saw you as. So they have a little plushie of the sheep in there. So I picked that up with all the other fixings in there with the collector's edition as well.
Plus Breakpoint and, Cyberpunk 2077. Wow, when's that? I think that got pushed
back. Didn't it get pushed back?
Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
This is the first or second pushback for that.
I don't know. Maybe the second. Because I remember that trailer. When the announcement trailer years back, when they had that song Bullets and everything, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, interesting.
Oh, everybody got hyped up for that.
Yeah.
And then it got even better. The hype even got even bigger and bigger as the
months
came
by. When they had
that
gameplay trailer, and that was exciting.
I remember that as well. You said it was trying to think of anything coming out later on this year, because you've got plenty of titles you had, like four?
Was that?
How many titles you had? Like four titles you were thinking
around
about picking
four
up?
Four or five, yeah.
They're coming
out
soon.
That DCS World is going to be the most expensive. I mean, $80.
$80. But it's not the highest you've ever spent on the game, though.
Outside of collector's editions,
yeah,
like just straight up, just the game, I would think it is. But it's a module for but it is a complete study sim for the F-16. And I know, Kevin and I are going to be playing that. Oh my god! So real quick tangent.
Yeah.
At work, at the recruiters bought two sim chairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the chairs they have like the nice computer and stuff like that, the monitor. Mm-hmm. They have the VR headset, the Vive, and also they have the A10 Thrustmaster joystick.
Mm-hmm.
And like they spent a lot of money. I'm like, because I know the joysticks alone are like $500.
Jeez.
But it is. And I was like looking at that, I'm like, if one of these just walks out at the door into the back of my car, pay no mind.
Yeah, they will track you down.
Oh, they will. Yeah, they know where I live. They know where I work. But, just looking at that, I actually got to sit in it for a little bit. And, like, they had it was a Lockheed Martin simulator of the F-16.
Okay.
And just looking at that, and I'm just like, man, this makes me want one of these sticks so bad.
I think you want that whole setup in your place.
Yeah.
The chair and everything else going on as well.
I'll get the phone.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. I remember the
in-game chat?
Flight simulators. You had a good time with that as well.
In-game chat?
All types of things that all types of things that Microsoft did their flight simulator.
I think Lockheed Martin bought out the Microsoft flight sim.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were saying. But with the DCS world, their stuff is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so having like a really, if I could, once I get like a nice place where I could have like a lot of disposable income or whatever, I will get
so
like
space
a nice,
as well.
Yeah, space as well. I will upgrade my computer. I will, I'm looking at doing that. I want the headset. I really want that joystick, because it is actually for spec a A10 throttle and joystick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the buttons and everything. I'm looking at that. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they look like in the cockpit.
Yeah, I mean, at least you'll have something else to use with that thing as opposed to. We talked about a Steel Battalion years ago. The big
if I could
controller,
find that, if I could find that controller, right, and find a way to make it work in Windows, I would play MechWarrior 5 on that so quickly.
There's probably a way already.
But, like I said, finding the thing to begin with, but that was not spending like, you know, a couple hundred.
Yeah, that was just a way
for just one, you know, at least with like flight sims, you know, or other things I have that joystick, you know, the joystick will work with.
Yeah.
I have multiple sims, you know, mech sims. I have, you know, the one.
But that, yeah, but when I talk about Steel Battalion, I just think about the waste, the massive amount of potential that was wasted because you just made it for that one game and nothing else.
I wish that they would have had that come out on the 360 instead of the original Xbox because the 360 had the USB.
Yeah,
and then at least then, you know, we could have, you know, probably more native drivers and everything for the PC, and then I think it would have been a better hit. But yeah, if man, if they could do something like that again,
I don't think anyone would want to risk that nowadays.
Yeah, it does seem like it'd be rather risky.
Because what was it when it came out?
Modern Warfare. Yeah, that's another one I'm looking at.
Yeah, how much was that when it came out? Like 300.
It was expensive.
It was $300 back then?
Around there?
Around $200 or $300 when that game first came out. And that was that was a long time ago. But
04? No,
03.
03.
03 when that came out, yeah.
Because I actually saw one, I saw someone playing that when I was in tech school out in Texas.
Yeah.
And, like, they had it in the day room, and, like, they were just, I'm, like, looking at that joystick, just, like, my goodness, that's amazing looking.
Yeah.
Huge.
I was thinking of Sega's Mech Fighter Virtual On because that's a twin stick. It's a twin stick controlled game.
Yeah,
and that was twin sticks on the Steel Battalion thing. And the way you could, if there was a way to hook that up and set it up, someone would probably already done that by now. But I was thinking if someone could do that and hook it up that way, that would be real fun to play with that way instead of on the Dreamcast controller.
I wish we could bring back. I'm looking for more mech games. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's been years since we've had a Mech Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had one teased years ago, but then that fizzled out, and now we're getting this. But like a good, you know, like mech game is so much fun.
Yeah, it was like a fad back. Let it fizzled out like a fad or something like that.
A lot of it actually became down to specifically for the MechWarrior brand was litigation with Harmony Gold.
Great.
You know exactly where that's going, right?
Yep.
Because of Robotech.
Yeah.
They had, like, you know, they were like, all right, these are the mechs, I think they were the unnamed is what they called them, and they were, like, saying, hey, this is too much like our designs, and there was a back and forth. Like, it was going on for decades.
Yeah.
You know, the litigation between them. And then, you know, with Microsoft and FASA, you know, they had a little bit going on with, like, the Mech Assault, but that kind of fizzled and did nothing. And so it just sort of fizzled out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we do have MechWarrior Online. I haven't played that. Let's see. Delinquent asked me. I played Armored Core when it first came out. Way back.
Armored Core, I remember that.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Didn't it, like, simplify? Just, like, get out there, just put the equipment you want on there, and then go out there and see what happens.
Go out and smash things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. It's like Armored Core. It would have got to, like, the 5 or 6.
I forget. Chrome Hounds, that was another good one.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I want, like, something. Oh, man, can you imagine, like, a nice mech game set, like, you know, where you're fighting kaiju? Kind of like a Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just, like, duking it out in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Smashing things and punching monsters. That'd be fun.
I'm trying to think of, was there something like that? Well, no. Earth Defense wasn't like that. There were mechs in there, but you just customized your soldiers, wasn't it?
Yeah, and, like, a lot of those games like that, it doesn't feel like you're in a mech. It just feels like you're in a, you know, mech skinned person,
mech-ish.
You know,
mech-ish,
yeah. There, to me, mechs have a certain weight to them. They have a certain feel.
Yeah.
Let's see. AC Wraith saying that he needs to get the BattleTech. No, I completely agree. AC Wraith, you need to get the BattleTech game. It is amazing. I need to get the season pass for that
because
they already have two of the expansions out, and they're coming out with the third.
Yeah.
And that game, if you've ever played tabletop BattleTech in your life, that HBS BattleTech game is just like that on your computer, and it is a lot of fun. But yeah, to me, there's like a weight to a mech, you know.
Yeah, they're not agile.
Some of the nimble ones, like, you know,
even the agile ones ain't nimble.
But you're still like a big giant robot.
Yeah, it's a big robot. Yeah, so there's a lot of weight. There's a lot of mass and weight to move.
Yeah,
there's some. There was something else I was thinking about with Steel Battalion as well. That big one of the biggest features of the controller anyway was the eject button.
The eject button,
because if you died in that game,
all your
save data is gone. And I don't know if anybody could handle that nowadays, having lose every time you play, you lose your potential of losing all your save data, everything
I think
you built up over time.
That would be a good option. You know, like a hardcore mode. You know,
yeah, you could do it that way.
You know, kind of like I think Fallout did that, or some of the other ones that, you know, have like a hardcore mode where, like, all right, you could play the game, or you could do it with this difficulty level where it's permadeath. Ghost Recon eventually added that in.
Or permadeath.
Yeah, you know, like, here it is, but if you die, you're dead. You're carrying all the progression, whatever,
you're gone.
Toast.
Mm-hmm.
So, for a lot of players, that might be an interesting way of doing it, where having options, I think, is never a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it's never bad to have options, because, you know, you could do it, you might not want to do it, but the fact that you have that option to do it is, you know, I think really good.
Because, the thing about that eject button was, I remember people would have an issue because they're like, reach over to hit eject, and then forget that, you have to lift the glass lid up, and you got to hit the button. So how many times
I almost wanted to, like, you know, watch someone play and to, like, flip it and hit it real quick and be like, ha-ha, I gotcha.
Yeah. How many times you hear someone, like,
smack the
plastic? Oh,
yeah.
Then by the time they get the button up, it's too late. Your mech's gone.
Mech's gone.
Everything's
gone.
Now you got to start over again.
Mech stuff, huh?
Yep. Mech stuff.
Fun.
We need a giant robot fighting kaiju game.
Hopefully with a controller like the Steel Battalion one.
Yeah.
You can find one.
Rock'em sock'em robots.
Did you get off on talking about movies while I was gone?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Wasn't sure.
I didn't even mention that I saw Godzilla, and it was actually fun.
Right, that's what I figured was. But anyway.
No, we talked about mechs.
We're going to go to a break here. In fact, it's a break for a game that got announced as a remake. Destroy All Humans is the music. This one comes from the first game.
That sounds like a great idea.
It's called Furon Theme is the name of it. Anyway, well, see, I told you we wouldn't spend too much time talking about Destiny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We never do.
Never do.
We never really, we never give...
We don't get into the meat and the bones of it.
The game, what it deserves.
No.
We might when we come back. Anyway, here's Destroy All Humans. We'll be back in just a bit. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from our second submarine game called We Need to Go Deeper. I am not sure on the validity of this track, though, because it's called Unidentified Music 1.
Seems legit.
And I've also never played the game, so I have no idea if this music's actually in the game or not. The look of the game, from thumbnails that I saw on YouTube, doesn't seem to fit this sort of style of music. But I don't know. It sounded good, and I'm going with it. Anyway, welcome back to the show. All right, let's talk about Baldur's Gate 3, because we only briefly mentioned this, but it was confirmed from the makers of Divinity Original Sin 2. We're getting Baldur's Gate 3. It's going to be on Google Stadia and also on PC. They have not announced consoles that I know of, but I imagine it will be there as well. I don't know really much about it, and they don't know if it's going to have anybody from Baldur's Gate 1 or 2 being involved. Again, I am not familiar with the Baldur's Gate franchise, so I can't tell you either way what I saw looked good or not. I saw a lot of excitement online. I saw plenty of people very, very excited about this title. And they weren't. They also weren't throwing out that jaded. What's the word I'm trying to think of? Anyway. They weren't crapping on it. Basically, they weren't saying, "Well, it's not the original developers. It kind of looks." Basically, we haven't seen anything other than a trailer, so we have no gameplay from this. The fact that they are making it, I think, is something that is exciting for everyone who are Baldur's Gate fans. Not only that, but it's coming from Divinity Original Sin 2 creators, which apparently is a very, very good game.
I've heard good things about that game, too.
Yeah, I've heard fantastic things about that game. So I think that, on top of everything else, just sort of gives them a sense of, hey, there is a lot of reason that this will go very well. And so I'm excited about that. Rather than it coming from a different developer and you're like, they're going to turn it into a multiplayer crap fest. a loot shooter type thing. Mm. You know? So. The other thing was that Rocksteady announced on Twitter that a number of you have asked. So we wanted to let you all know up front that Rocksteady Games will not be showing at E3 this year. We'll be watching as fans, but remaining in London, hard at work on our next big project. Enjoy the show. That's all. This is E3 number, six? That we haven't seen Rocksteady at, that we haven't seen Rocksteady?
It's been a minute.
Batman Arkham Knight was what year?
I'll look it up.
I almost don't want to know.
I want to say it was 2016.
Where's the time going?
Right? It might have been 2017. Mm-hmm. What you got there for us, RJ?
Batman Arkham Knight was released. Let's see.
You're going to get
2014, October, and then on Windows for June.
2014?
It was scheduled to be released in October of 2014. Then it was delayed to June 2nd of 2015. And then it was on Windows on June 23rd, 2015.
Right, yeah, there was a delay of getting it on PC.
Yeah.
So it was 2015 is what we got.
Yeah, 2015. Mid-2015.
So, there we go. It's been 4 years without a new Batman game. Three, I guess. If you count the year that it was released, that's a year. Mm-hmm. So it was released in 2015. We had a Batman game, but we haven't had anything since, or at least anything from Rocksteady since then. Which is about on par, I would say. If you are done with a franchise, which I don't necessarily know that they're done with Batman, but I remember Arkham Knight from a lot of them saying, here's the end of our little Batman trilogy that we were working on. Mm-hmm. This is the end of it. And they put a lot of effort into there. The DLC was fantastic that they released for it. So I can see them sort of like, they're probably building a new engine. Mm-hmm. And they're really starting from scratch on whatever they're working on next. Then again, because of WB, Warner Brothers Games, they may have been involved with something to do with where Warner Brothers really thought their DC line was going to go, mm-hmm. that did not get there, and they may have had to start over. Mm. This is just complete speculation. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say that Rocksteady is guided by Warner Brothers, but it's very possible that Warner Brothers was like, we need you to come in with a Justice League game. You know, we want something that puts them all together. And then that just didn't fly. You know what I'm saying?
Like the movie. Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. In other words, Warner Brothers probably had this. Look, when Warner Brothers was doing all this, let's go back to 2015. When Warner Brothers was doing this, 2015, there was, I have to look this up now. Okay, Batman Superman came out in 2016.
Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
Was that long ago?
Yeah, it was 2016.
Wow.
So at that time, Warner Brothers probably had an idea of, here's where we're going with our movie side of things. And I don't necessarily know that had any anything to do with what the video games would do, but I'm sure there was some sort of aspect of like, here's what we're doing. If you guys kind of want to go in this direction, this is where we're going. We're going to do Batman Superman. Then we're going to do all these other little movies with Wonder Woman and Aquaman and that sort of thing. And it's all leading into Justice League with and then Justice League went to hell. And then, you know, everything kind of fell apart out from under them. And I don't necessarily know what Rocksteady was working on. So who knows? That's just pure speculation on my part. That's all. I don't know. WB Montreal is working on a Batman game as well, and they're not going to be at E3 to talk about it either. So it's likely we're not getting anything Batman-related at E3, which is fine. Shenmue 3 got delayed to November.
Yeah, it did.
And also apparently not going to be on Xbox.
I got my Steam copy, so...
Right, PC and PlayStation, but not Xbox. From what I understand, that is completely confirmed, that there are no plans to release on Xbox. This was an interesting thing that's not concerned with E3. But a Kickstarter action RPG for Charles Barkley 2.
Is there a Charles Barkley 1?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there was a Charles Barkley video game.
Is that like Shaq Fu?
No. The only Charles Barkley game I remember was Shut Up and Jam.
That's what it's from, yeah. We still have the original Barkley Shut Up and Jam, which is actually free. What is this really the full name? Barkley Shut Up and Jam. Gaiden Chapter 1 of the Hoops Barkley Saga. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, okay.
Tales of Game Studios presents Chef Boyardee's Barkley Shut Up and Jam.
Chef Boyardee?
I'm not kidding. If you would like, I will put this link.
Put the link in there, man. Wait, put the link in there.
I will put this link in there. There you go. It's supposed to be a screenshot there, but I'm not seeing anything coming up on my PC. Anyway.
Oh, goodness.
So back to this article from Rock Paper Shotgun. That game, it was Kickstarter. It was on Kickstarter, and it's still in development. But the bad news is that according to developers Tales of Games' latest update, development has been slowed to a crawl by most of the staff leaving. Offering a ballpark estimate, remaining developer and voice of the team's Twitter account estimates that production is a mere 85% dead. It publicly hit the fan over the weekend after one-time developer GZ, posting under the username Horatio, made several posts on the Something Awful Games forum. The studio has been radio silent on the project for a long time, and GZ confirmed many people's fears. He claimed that most of the developers had gone their separate ways years back. There had been the occasional development stream over the past year or two, but the video uploaded to the game's official YouTube channel in the trailer below is from 2015. Not long after, the studio's Twitter account confirmed most of the allegations, although denies that the project is dead. At present, the only core team member working on the game is apparently one person along with a part-time coder called Paperjack, and progress is still happening, though slowly. He says the game's Kickstarter funds were spent solely on development, but given that the crowdfunding drive happened nearly 7 years ago, it's unsurprising that funds have dried up. It's a rough situation for everyone involved, and over the next few days, he hopes to answer as many questions as he can from Kickstarter backers. Unfortunately, he appears to be primarily a PR person rather than a coder, so it's probably going to be a long while yet until we see anything playable released to the public. The game might just be on track for the November 11th, 2023 launch that was teased in the trailer. Wow, okay.
I don't know what to make of any of that.
I'm grateful that I have not really backed anything on Kickstarter that has gone completely belly up, that I've lost out on my money. I haven't yet. I have funded things on Kickstarter that did not reach their goal, at which point I didn't have to pay anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I've never paid into something that
got the goal and then just
never came to a fruition. And something, you know, I'm still involved in some stuff that is not considered dead. They still put out regular updates on what they're doing. But yeah, and it has to actually do, I think, with City of Heroes. Although I have City of Heroes now, so yeah. I'm not too worried about it.
Lethal's asking about, speaking of Kickstarter, about Star Citizen. They're still working on it, and they still say it's coming out.
Star Citizen's still doing its thing, man.
Yeah.
It really is. I know you say you never hear anything about it. And the reason
I hear plenty.
The reason that is that anytime it comes up in news, it's just like, okay, Star Citizen still chunk of it. There's nothing significant to say. Like, they haven't made any progress in the sense of, hey, we're closer to releasing, or we finally got a date, or anything like that. It's just news of Star Citizen still exists. Here's what's new.
Yeah.
You know, but nothing big to come out and say, we finally have a release date on the game. We finally have platform. I mean, there's nothing newsworthy to really mention. But it's still doing its thing. I think they had actors who were assigned on to do roles in that game, and they're still, they may have already done their stuff. I don't know. But yeah. So it's still out there.
I'll continue to play Elite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got about 10 minutes left. What have you guys been playing?
Elite
Dangerous. I know. I saw your screenshots when I was going through the, when I was going through looking for what people were playing or doing I could.
So you saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It came up in my, see, I go through, like, first I click and see who's playing what.
Yeah.
And that's how I got Red Faction Gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go to the activity page that shows me who has bought games, who has made achievements in games, who has posted screenshots in games, and I'll get my ideas from there as well. So, and I saw your screenshot.
Yeah.
Pretty, actually, the one in front of the sun. Sun?
Yeah, huge sun. Kevin and I were just coming in. I'm like, ooh, hey, Kev, what's the screenshot button? He's like, here, hit this. I'm like, okay, let me try that real quick. And, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting. We've been mining some more. We did some, we both bought new fighters that we spec'd out to be like super fast and like, you know, kind of like more like an interceptor in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been mining yesterday. No, this morning actually. And, I am just about, to become elite status in trade. So I'm excited about that.
Cool. RJ, what about you?
I finally got all the heads I needed in Mortal Kombat 11 in the crypt, so I've opened up.
It's the crypt grind.
Yep. I finally got all the heads, like I said. So I finally opened up Shang Tsung's treasure trove in the back of the crypt. So I was finally able to open up all the treasure chests in there and get some gear and skins and things like that. Now it's just a matter of going back in there every now and then, just opening up stuff and trying to get more skins and gear for all the rest of the characters in the game. So I've been doing that. I've also booted up something I bought a long time ago and finally started playing. I played a little bit of Axiom Verge.
Yeah, fun game.
On that, and since I've never played Metroid, but I've seen the videos of it, that's exactly what it looks and feels like to me.
It is. It feels almost ripoff. You know, I don't want to say ripoff because it's actually good.
It's a ripoff or homage to Metroid.
It is a massive. If that's what you want to call it, an homage, then sure. But it, you know, it's like, here's a mirror of here's a slightly skewed mirror of Metroid, and that's what it feels like you're playing.
Yeah, instead of Samus, you got dude with his hand cannon.
Yeah, you got Lab Coat guy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I played a little bit of that. I had fun with it from what I did play, especially after I found the drill. I was able to go places. Oh, I could finally go to this place that I never was able to go to before. Other than that, played a little bit of the Golf Club 2019. Started playing, want to play a few courses of that. I did that this morning as well. Got some courses in and trying to get a feel for it. No, despite the fact of how long I've had this game, I'm still learning things here and there. I was finally able to get more accuracy on my drives and short game in that game. I'm still garbage at putting, by the way. I can't get the power judgment down yet, but given enough time to practice, I'll get it eventually. So that's pretty much what I've been playing this week.
For me, obviously. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, also did the Elusive Target that just released.
Okay. Yeah.
For me, obviously, it's just been Destiny 2, new season. So we're back in there doing our thing. We did hit our, well, I already talked about that. We hit our clan goal last week, so we did talk about that, which was fantastic for us to pull together and do that.
Go team.
New content's looking great. I'm enjoying the new content much better than I did the previous two releases. This one is not focused on Gambit, which is nice. This is focused on, they're really putting, I don't know. Did you watch that vid doc? Did you watch the video, the video documentary thing, the vid doc that Bungie released about about year three of Destiny?
Did not.
Mm-mm.
They are really skewing into the RPG side of things.
Okay.
Like, there was a screenshot of your armor, and the stat page of your armor was, it had a whole bunch of stats that isn't normally on there. And a whole bunch of modifications you can do to it to increase stats and change stats and that sort of thing.
Sure. Mm.
So they're really leaning heavy into that, it looks like, for year three. I know you've put that in your wish list for Steam. Are you ever coming back to Destiny? Will you? Maybe?
Maybe. Yeah. It just all depends.
Okay.
You know, I got tired of the, you know, Crucible stuff.
You know, that's what burned me out.
Yeah.
Mayhem's going on right now, and that's always fun. Yeah. That's this week's Crucible playlist thing. The menagerie that they have right now is a way to earn a lot of loot, and you can solo. It's matchmaking, so it's completely solo, and it's a team event thing. Yeah. And you can't fail it. I mean, if you fail, it's like four different rooms and then a boss fight.
All right.
And if you fail any one of the rooms, it's just like, okay, move on to the next room, all the way to the boss fight. Now, if you beat those rooms, then that's good. You get something out of it. But if you don't beat those rooms, then you just keep going until you get to the boss. And then there is no fail mechanic in the boss. There is no rage mechanic or whatever it is, the one that will, if you don't beat it at a certain time, it ends.
Mm-hmm.
You beat it, and then you get the loot at the end. And they have a crafting system now where you can plug in slots on... you can plug in rune slots on the chalice, the cup, and then you go into this matchmade activity, and then when you open up the chest, it spins those runes that you've slotted, and you get whatever the recipe was that you put in. And then you just do that over and over again. And then you play other parts of the game to get more runes to slot into the cup. It's really kind of cool.
All right.
It's nice that they implemented that. I hope they implement it matchmaking in other aspects that they don't, like the Nightfall, even like raids. And there is rumor that the early raid, the year one raids, are going to get matchmaking, which will be interesting if they do that.
Still, so, never done a raid in that game.
Yeah. Of course, you get, you know, free to play Destiny 2, and all the expansions up to Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at some of the bullet points for what they're doing. So, anyway, that's what I've been playing. We got E3 tomorrow, or at least we've got Microsoft, Bethesda tomorrow, and then Monday we've got Ubisoft, and is Nintendo on Monday too, or is that Tuesday? I think Nintendo's Monday. No, I don't know. We've got Ubisoft, Square Enix, and Nintendo, I believe, on Monday. So,
where are you? Odds of what? Ubisoft
Splinter Cell?
Yeah,
zero.
Unfortunately,
I have zero.
I think the most we got out of Splinter Cell was that little add-on level for Wildlands.
I will say that that's me just keeping my hopes in check because I don't want to say that I think it's coming and it's not.
Yeah.
Ubisoft has disappointed me many years.
Yeah.
Longer than Rocksteady's been making Batman games. And I think they're on track to disappoint me yet again. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they will actually do something. Yeah. Although there has been rumor, and there has been little things that says maybe this year.
Little talk, yeah, here and there.
But I'm still on the...
We've been burned before.
I'm still on the boat of, yeah, five shy? I don't know what the word is for what they've done to me. But yeah, all hope is lost. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room as well as listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes and wherever else you get our show. We do appreciate that. Go to ingamechat.net, join us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you're on Steam, join our Steam group there. Join us, please join us on Steam, because with Destiny we can add you to the clan if you decide that you're going to play. That would be wonderful. Holy crap, we have a lot of people in the room.
Cool.
Let's see if I can do this very fast.
All right, do it.
Virgo Pros, VNK, Tony Indigo, The Delinquent, Tactus 59, Steven Van Dam, Retro, Polizzi, Lurks, Lethal Migraine, Joe Knight, Joja 1337, Green Sticky Stuff, Evans 04111, Electrical Longboard, that's a new one, Drunk Degenerates, Commander Root, Cash Bear, that's new too.
Cash Bear.
Angel of Flight, also new.
Yeah.
And AC Wraith, thank you all for joining us in the chat room.
Thanks.
Here's music from Tangled Deep. It's called Clash with a Mighty Foe.
Okay.
We will see you next Saturday. Have a good E3.